Welcome to the Marketing Seekers Podcast. My name is Russell Brunson, and I'm what you call a serial entrepreneur, but with a twist. You see, 50% of my time, I'm the CEO of ClickFunnels, helping over 100,000 brands to grow their companies with funnels. And the other 50% of my time, I'm actually in the trenches using ClickFunnels to grow the startups I believe in. During this podcast, I'll take you behind the scenes and show you how we are bootstrapping ClickFunnels and my other businesses from startup to nine figures and beyond. Welcome to the show. What's up, everybody? This is Russell Brunson. I'm welcoming you back to the Marketing Seekers Podcast. And I'm actually streaming today from beautiful Miami. And yes, I've been singing the Will Smith Miami song over and over again. But anyway, Miami. And the funny thing is, this is the second time I've been to Miami this week. So last week was my birthday. I turned 44 years old, which is crazy. And for my birthday, I was like, I want to do something cool, but I don't know what to do. And then I saw that UFC 299 was happening in Miami, and so I thought, Colette, let's fly to Miami, we'll spend a day doing nothing, because we always do something, let's do nothing, and the next day, let's do nothing, and then we'll go to the fights, and then fly home. So we did. So we did the whole thing, went to the fights. It was crazy. We were, like, on the ground floor, I think it was fifth row seats. We're sitting there. I had, like, three or four funnel hackers come up, came up to me and said, hey, which was kind of cool, and then, like, halfway through the main card, all of a sudden, Donald Trump comes out. It's just, like, it's so cool. You see, like, Trump come out, Dana White behind the Secret Service, and, like, cameras are on him, and everyone's going crazy, and it was just kind of a fun spectacle. Then we saw Mr. Beast was there, Logan Paul, Damon John, like, it was just kind of fun seeing, like, who's who of everybody, and then watching a fight that close, which part of me thinks it's really cool, because you're, like, right there, you're like, oh, this guy's gonna bleed on me, which is kind of cool in a weird, distorted way. But then also, it's harder to see. Like, you're looking up the whole time, and, you know, normally you watch UFC, you're watching the camera, you know, watching on TV, it's like the camera's they're in the arena. It's like you feel like you're right there. It's just like most of the time you're actually looking up these big, huge screens, even though you're that close. So I think if I went to another UFC fight, I wouldn't want to sit on the floor, other than there's a cool vibe with, like, all the people who, you know, all the people down there together. But there's something cool about being able to, like, see it a little better from a little higher up. So anyway, who knows? But that was fun. That was my first time being in a UFC fight. It was probably the best cards ever. And that was awesome. So then we flew home, and the reason I flew home is because Monday and Tuesday, I had two things happening. I had a partner meeting happening in Boise, and we had our Inner Circle Category Kings Claim Your Throne event happening Monday and Tuesday as well. And so we're flying home, and sure enough, our flight gets delayed, which means we miss our connection flight, and it was crazy. Some of you guys have lived this before. We end up staying in a hotel and then booking other flights, and all sorts of craziness. I had to fly one way, I flew a different way, and eventually got home just in time to get everything done. That's been 2 days with our partner meeting planning. And then we jumped on a plane the next morning and flew back to Miami with our kids, because that night, Wednesday night, we went to a Messi soccer game, which was cool, and saw Messi play. Found out why he's worth $450 million a year, I think, is what they're paying him, which is crazy. I don't even know. It's insane. But we went to the Messi game. They won. Messi scored. And, yeah, our kids loved our kids. We had two soccer players in our family, so it was pretty fun. And now we're hanging out in Miami for a couple days before we head off on the cruise. So, for spring break. So that's what's happening in my world. What's happening in your world? There, I caught you guys up in less than 3 minutes. That's kind of crazy. So I do have a lesson from all this. You want to know the lesson? Here's the lesson. So we're preparing for the partner meeting, and I just want to talk about how cool brains are. Like, all of us have these really cool brains, but if we use them incorrectly, they don't really help us. Anyway, you know, I obviously am, like, always working on my projects. I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to figure out ways to make them better. And I'm writing my book and working on ClickFunnels, working on Secrets of Success, and just all the fun things that's happening, right? Trying to build a library, there's a lot of fun stuff happening all at once, you know? And so your brain kind of thinks about what's most exciting at the time. And it's actually as I was packing to fly out to the UFC fight, Todd messaged me and was like, hey, we have this big problem with ClickFunnels that I wasn't really aware of. And he explained it to me. And the point where I was like, anyway, I was like kind of sick to my stomach, like, oh crap, how are we gonna solve this problem, you know? And I remember actually I messaged him back afterwards. I was like, oh man, I'm packing my bags right now. I don't even know, I have no idea, but I'll think about it, I'll get back to you. So then I start packing, and within like 10 minutes, like almost perfectly, the solution appeared in my head, just like, here's the answer. Oh, you know, like whatever. And I was like, what in the world? So I messaged Todd back, and I was like, what about this? He messaged back. He's like, that's amazing. Like, holy crap. Like, yes, that's exactly what we need. I'm like, okay. And the partner meeting sat down. I basically showed it to him, mapped them all out, told him the vision, and everyone's freaking out. And it was crazy because, like, all it took was for me to focus on the right problem. And this is the lesson for today, because I think for me, like, there's a million problems I'm solving every day. I'm sure the same thing's true for you, right? You're an entrepreneur, you're a creator, you're, you know, a prime mover in society. You're doing a lot of stuff, which means we solve problems for people, right? We think for a lot of people, we solve problems for a lot of people. But our brain usually can, like if we put a problem in front of it, it can figure out the answer, right? It's one of the amazing things about thinking, which is why I'm obsessed with all these books I'm buying, right? They're all about thinking to change your life, thinking grow rich, thinking, you know, whatever the things are, just like getting better at thinking and thinking strategically and how to think right and how to think about the right things. And so the big aha for me was just like I was solving all sorts of problems. I was thinking about all sorts of things. But the thing that was most important for me to think about, like the thing that was most crucial in ClickFunnels and our journey and everything we're doing, I wasn't aware of it, and so I wasn't thinking about it. And so when I sat down, I was like, well, here's the problem. Literally within minutes, the answer showed up in my head. And it's like, oh, there's the answer, right? And so it started making me think about this. I'm thinking about this a lot this last week. It's just like, usually I'm thinking about the problem that's right in front of my face all the time. And I think, I said the word think like five times now, I know, but I think what the key is to slow down and stop, and not just to like think about the solution for every problem that's in front of your mind, but to stop and actually spend time thinking about what is the most crucial problem I need to solve. What is the problem? Like, I remember Tim Ferriss, this is pre-ClickFunnels, it's probably 17, 18 years ago now, dang, a long time ago. I was in New York at this event, and Tim Ferriss was speaking at it. He was like the keynote, you know, so they did a Q&A with him, and I still remember this day. It was really interesting. At the end, you know, the host was doing Q&A with him, asking him questions, and asked him at the end, like, you know, it was a question I should be asking, and I'm forgetting. And he kind of smiled and he said, you know, the question a lot of people want to know is like, what's a day in the life look like of Tim Ferriss? And he says, you know, if you looked at my life, he's like, it's actually not very exciting from the outside. He's like, what I'll do is I wake up in the morning and he's like, I make a cup of coffee, and then I sit around and I read, and then I walk, you know, go on a walk, and I do some stuff. And he's like, what I'm trying to do is, he's like, I'm trying to spend enough time, like, going through all the things in my head that I can figure out what the big domino is. He said, there's always one big domino. If you can push down that domino, it knocks down all the rest of them or makes them irrelevant. And it was interesting, like, that thought's kind of repopped in my head as this whole experience happened. Like, so many times I'm running around knocking on this domino, but I'm not even focusing on the big, I don't even know the big one exists, right? And slowing down, which I'm not good at doing, slowing down long enough, or have somebody else you love bring it to you, like, hey, this is a big domino we should knock down, you know? Which is funny because, you know, at least for me, maybe it's not the case for you, but I'm always running so fast that I'm knocking down dominoes left and right, having a good time with it, but I'm not doing what Tim Ferriss taught me, you know, which is like slowing down and spending time to look around and find the right domino, find the right problem. Because there's a problem out there that you could solve that would solve most of the other ones that you're dealing with, right? So for me now, I'm trying to weave that more into like when I wake up in the morning, I'm not like, oh, here's what I gotta do today, but it's like, okay, of all the things I gotta do, what's the one, like what's the problem that if I solve that one is the biggest, right? It was interesting too in the partner meeting, you know, we had this 2-day partner meeting and we're going through all this stuff and there's like a million different initiatives and things and, you know, all the stuff we're thinking through. But when it was done, we're like, okay, of all these things, like what are the big ones? And it was crazy because two of them were whose. So you have who, not how, right? And so we're like, we could go and, you know, spend the next 6 months to a year focusing on creating this thing. But if we get the right who in place, this problem disappears. And then we're like, well, who could it be? Boom. Also, we start thinking about the correct problem. And literally within, I don't know, 2 minutes, I was like, Todd was explaining to me the role of someone they needed. I was like, oh, what about so-and-so? And they're like, holy crap, that'd be actually amazing. And there's other role, right? Ah, there's like, if we had the right who, this would be perfect. And all of a sudden, Andrew, who's one of our partners and lead developers, like, he was like, oh, well, what about this person? And it was like the perfect person. Like, it was just insane. But it came back to us, you know, making lists of the 1,000 things we need to solve these issues in the company. And then coming back and saying, like, who's the person that could actually solve these for us, right? And then answering that question became easy. You know, answering how to solve the 1,000 little things was like overwhelming and daunting. Like, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, at the end of the day, I usually have decision fatigue. So I've had to answer so many questions inside so many things. But two of the things were just, it turned out to be who's that solved, you know, 80%. Actually, there was a third person also who was big thing on my side I was trying to figure out. And it came down to literally just like, oh, well, what if we had so-and-so do that? And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. I'm so busy trying to solve the problems, I don't step back to try to think about the right problem. You know, how do I solve this without me being the person? It was interesting. I was looking at Todd the way that Todd does his to-do lists and things like that. And he had a section where, which was like delegating, like trying to think through all of his to-dos he could delegate out. And I was like, oh, I never think about those kind of, like, I'm pretty good at delegating, but not from the beginning of a project. You know, instead of like, you just, I'm going to do all these things. Versus he's like, here's the project. Here's what I'm going to delegate all these pieces to. I'm like, oh, it's so much smarter. It's such a better way to solve the problem versus like, here's all the things I need to do. Right. Anyway, just fascinating. So I'm really enjoying just like how our brains work, how it can come up with solutions, but you got to put the right inputs in, you know. I think most people spend their lives putting the wrong inputs in, right? They're thinking, oh, I'm not ready. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, and like, you know, and so your brain will solve it. Like, you're hungry. Okay, let's go to McDonald's, right? Oh, you're tired. Let's take a nap. Let's watch a movie. Let's eat some more sugar. You know, like our brain, like we ask it the dumbest questions and it finds the answers for us versus stopping that and being like, okay, what are the questions I got to answer? If I really want this thing or trying to get to this place or whatever the thing is, like what's the real answer? Or, sorry, the real question I gotta answer to get my brain to give me the right thing in response. Like our brains are amazing. Like they really are. I think about how come Elon Musk can make so much more money than me. You know, why is he doing so much better than me? It's like, well, he thinks differently. Like he asks the right questions. He's solving problems at a level that I'm not capable of yet. It's because I haven't thought about it, right? I'm trying to solve my problems. I think about myself 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I was trying to solve a problem. Like, how do I get, you know, how do I make, you know, $1 million a month? Like, you know, 5 years before that, it's like, how do I make $1 million a year, right? Then now it's like, you know, we're over 10 million a month. How do we get to 100 million a month? You know, but back then I probably could ask the same question. Like, how do I get to $100 million a month? My brain would have figured out an answer, but I didn't think that was possible, right? Like, I didn't even believe it was possible. Like, it took me a while to get to the spot where I could believe it. So anyway, it's just kind of interesting, fun thing to play with. So I want to encourage you guys, just even right now, after listening to this podcast, is to pause this for a minute and just start thinking, like, looking at all the little dominoes you're chasing right now and stop, like, what is the big one? Like, what's the bigger thing, the bigger question? If I can start asking my brain that, it would solve everything else, right? And then just spend time thinking about it. Think about it, talk about it. It's interesting. I'm reading so many books right now, and all of them about subconscious mind and how it works and things like that, which is really fun. But one of the big things, in fact, Benjamin Hardy talked about a bunch of people, is like, before you go to bed at night, is to ask your brain the question, like, hey, I'm trying to figure out this thing, and like, go through what the problem is, and then fall asleep and forget about it. And then from there, your brain will go and like, find the answer for you and come back. You wake up in the morning, you have these answers. It's the reason why a lot of times, you know, when you're in the shower and you're not thinking anything, often the answers come, like, oh, I get the best ideas in the shower. I get the best ideas when I'm falling asleep at night, right? Because you're not actively thinking about it. Like, you put the thought into your mind, and then you let your subconscious mind kind of go and figure it out. Anyway, it's fascinating. I love this stuff. I'm also, some of you guys know, I'm working on this whole new book that goes deep in these things. And so a lot of my thoughts aren't perfectly, you know, engineered. I'll get clear at talking about these things as the book gets clearer, you know, and more finished. But it's just the thing that I'm so fascinated by right now, and I'm loving it. So anyway, that's what's happening over here. I'm trying to find one more thing for you guys real quick. So this is a quote from Robert Collier, who's one of my favorite authors, inside of a book set called The Life Magnet, which will be coming soon to Secrets of Success. If you don't have an account yet, go to secretsofsuccess.com. Anyway, this is, he's talking about how a new thought or an idea, how it is created and what it does. So he says, according to the English psychologist Graham Dallas, a new thought or idea passes through four definite phases. Number one, preparation. You have a problem to solve. You study everything related to it that you can. You fill your mind with all the facts pertaining to the problem, right? So that's the first thing we're talking about. Like, you prepare your mind and like try to solve it out in your head, right? Number two, incubation. You let go of the problem with your conscious mind. You pass it along to your subconscious and forget it, secure in the knowledge that the subconscious is weighing every phase of it carefully. Meanwhile, you go on with your everyday affairs, attending to those ordinary duties which the conscious mind is capable of taking care of unaided. Okay? So, you know, number one, we figure out what's the problem we gotta solve. Think about it. You know, try to study, try to figure out whatever we can. Use our five senses to go out there and get those things. Number two, then, you let it go. You go to bed at night. All right, brain, start trying to figure out. I'll be back. Right? For me, I do it through prayer. So I'm praying to God, and I'm asking for help for my subconscious mind to, like, bring these things into my consciousness, right? Okay, now step number three. It's called illumination. Those who do not understand the process of the mind tell you of the wonderful idea that suddenly dawns upon them, solving the problem they have been working on over for hours or days or weeks. What actually happens is their subconscious has weighed all the facts, come to its conclusion, and passed that conclusion back to the conscious mind. Spurred on by the confident faith upon the part of the conscious mind, there's no question the subconscious cannot solve in this way. But so many of us make a correct solution impossible by interpreting the deliberation every few minutes with worry and fear, by telling ourselves that we cannot solve the problem. Of course, when you tell the subconscious that it doesn't bother about the problem further, it accepts your judgments that it cannot be solved and goes on to something else. Ooh, are you getting this? So again, it says that most people understand that, like, when you're in the shower and all of a sudden the idea dawns upon you, that's the subconscious, like, handing you the answer. Like, hey, I figured out, what do you think? You know, your conscious brain is finally quiet enough that you can, like, listen to me. And then the next part is so cool. We're saying that, like, most of us would be like, oh, I can't figure this out. Oh, my brain, I can't figure this out. And when you start saying that, your brain's like, oh, we can't figure it out. And it believes whatever you tell it to, right? It's kind of interesting. All right, step number four, verification. When the conscious mind receives the conclusion, the good idea, from the subconscious, it analyzes it in the light of all the facts it has to see if the answer is correct, and it tests it. Perhaps the answer is negative because of the fear and the worry of the conscious mind. In that case, the problem may be sent back to the subconscious with confident assurance that there is a solution, that the subconscious has it and can speedily find it. Perhaps the answer is incomplete, solving only one phase of the problem. Refresh your mind again with every angle and send it back for further developing. Don't talk about the new idea too soon. Let it ferment until it's complete, until it becomes so strong it pops out of itself, full, born, and perfect. Steam has little power as long as it escapes freely from the spout of a kettle. But stop up the spout and it will presently blow off the lid. Thoughts have little power as long as they escape through the mouth as fast as they are formed. You must damn them for a while, set them some definite tasks to do before they generate real power. The trouble with many people is that they do not appreciate the difference between remembering and thinking. You give them a problem and they sit down, go through their brain files, and look over everything connected with the problem they can find. If one of those files happens to contain a record of the solution of a similar problem, then they use it. If not, they wait helplessly for someone else to solve the problem. That is not thinking. That is merely passing your memory cells in the kaleidoscope review before your mental eye. Real thinking, connecting all these related items of information and drawing logical conclusions from them, is something entirely different. It's like holding two pieces of electrically charged wire close to each other and letting a spark spring between them. If it takes two memory cells holding them before your mental eyes and connecting them with the spark of a related idea, of course, that is an effort, probably the greatest effort there is, and many people are too mentally lazy to make such an effort. Boom! Robert Collier's the man. So, that's the way how thinking works. Isn't that fascinating? It's so cool. Anyway, I'm going to talk a lot more about this kind of stuff in the future. In fact, I have a new podcast coming out specifically on this kind of stuff, personal development, brains, minds. Anyway, that's all I'm going to tell you right now, but it's coming soon to a podcast near you. Anyway, I hope this was helpful for you guys. Hopefully it helps you guys to start thinking about things differently. It helps you solve the problems in your life that get you to the finish line faster. Anyway, it was just a big realization to me as I was, again, this week. You know, I focused on the right problem, the solution popped in my head, and we were able to run with it, and it's going to be a game changer for me and for ClickFunnels and everything. So anyway, with that said, appreciate you all for listening. Hope you're all doing awesome, and we'll talk to you guys all soon. Bye, everybody.